Scripture lesson this morning is from the 1 Kings chapter 17. Actually, we're going to be reading from verses 1 through 16. And it's found on page 348 in the Pew Bible in front of you if you'd like to follow along. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 16. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land.'" She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you please bow your heads in prayer with me? Holy and gracious God, we are here in your presence, worshiping you, praising your name, and ready to hear your words. We thank you for these stories that reveals who you are, that encourages us to have faith, that helps us to be your sons and daughters in this world. Give us ears to hear so that we may hear your voice speaking to us today. May the Holy Spirit move among us and minister to us, opening our hearts and our minds so that we can experience your presence among us this morning. We thank you for these words, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage that we are reading today is actually kind of 3 years before from what we read last week, if you remember. Elijah goes to King Ahab and lets him know that there's going to be a severe drought that is coming because of their apostasy. And once the announcement is made, begins the drought. There is no dew nor rain. And so God takes care of Elijah. He sends him to a stream east of Jordan where he is fed by ravens. The raven becomes the food delivery service where they bring the bread and meat morning and night, and he drinks out of the brook until the brook runs dry, and then God sends him to a town called Zarephath, way up north. In this small town, as Elijah arrives, he meets up with this widow who comes out to gather a few sticks so that she could prepare her last meal for her and her son. Now, Elijah asks her of something that's actually, it's small but big. He asks for a drink of water, no problem there. And then he asks for a piece of bread. And this woman don't have any bread. All she has left is a handful of flour and a little bit of oil to make the last meal for herself and for her son. So even there, it's not much. But when Elijah asks, and she says, you know what, I'm sorry, but I really don't have a bread, and all I have is just a little bit of flour and oil that I'm going to now make so that my son and I can eat and then just wait to die because there's no more food. And Elijah says, fair enough, go and do exactly what you were planning to do, but just bring me a piece of bread first, and then you and your son can eat. What would you do if you were in that situation? And someone like Elijah comes to you asking you for a piece of bread, where that's, you don't really have that much. The widow decides to give this prophet the bread. And then what we are told in the story is that for the 3 years of the drought, the woman and her son were fed and they were sustained. Because for some reason, the jar of flour never became empty. She will scoop it out one morning, and when she goes back, whoop, there's more flour. She scoop it out again. Same thing with the oil, jar of oil, because God said it will never run dry. I don't think we could prove this scientifically, how it happened, but it happened. What's important here is that the woman, the widow, was willing to take the risk. And when she did, the world around them experienced such a scarcity, but the widow and her son, they experienced the abundance. So there are many lessons here for us to learn today, but we would like to consider one thing about our faith needing to be daring and courageous. We could say that the widow's faith was daring and courageous because she gave out of scarcity. She knew if she gave this prophet her portion of bread, obviously there isn't enough for the two of them. She knew that it was her last meal, and she was willing to give that up because she heard the words of Elijah, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the land." She decides to put her faith on the promise of God. See, faith, by nature, is daring and courageous. I don't know if you've ever heard of a person named Blondin. Blondin lived in the 1800s, and he was a very famous French tightrope walker and an acrobat. His greatest fame came in 1859 when he accomplished one of his greatest feats for the first time, walking a 1,100-foot tightrope suspended 160 feet above the waters of Niagara Falls. I remember seeing a black and white, like a reel, you know, little like movie about this. Blondin went on to walk across the falls several times, each with a different theatrical flair. On one such high wire walk, he crossed over the falls pushing a wheelbarrow. When he reached the other side, he asked the spectators if they believed he could do it again. And so they said, yeah, you could do it again, Blondin. Everyone cheered. He then asked if they believed he could again cross the tightrope with someone in the wheelbarrow. And everyone cheered, yeah, you could do it. You know, you're such a good tightrope walker. Yeah, you could do it. And then Blondin asked for a volunteer to ride in the wheelbarrow. That's when the crowd went silent and no one stepped up. Guess it was one thing to believe that he could do what they had all seen him do, and another to put your life in his hands, letting him push you over and across the falls, Niagara Falls that is, on a high wire. But if you trust God, then it means that you are willing to get into that wheelbarrow. The widow got into that wheelbarrow by giving what little she had. And she experienced God's grace that was life-giving and life-sustaining, abundant grace of God. See, when God loved us through Jesus Christ, God was also daring and courageous. God gave us his all, his precious son, to suffer the unspeakable death on our behalf. And God calls us to be as daring and courageous in our response to that daring and courageous act of love for us and for the humanity. When we confess our faith and love for God, it would take nothing less than us getting into that wheelbarrow. So what does it mean to be daring and courageous in your faith? How is the Holy Spirit nudging you to be daring and courageous with your time, in your relationships, with your finances, with your life? Helen and George owned a pumpkin and Christmas tree farm up northwest part of New Jersey. And there's so much to do during the growing season, to grow the pumpkin and make sure that they're growing well, to shear the Christmas tree so that they look that perfect triangle shape when the selling time comes. Helen was our worship committee chair in my first church I served, and sometimes her responsibility had her come to church during the week to take care of things here and there. As I said, I never understood until I met them and saw how they live. Farming is busy work, a lot of work. And so she was willing to give some of her time for a ministry. And this is what I heard her say to everyone in the congregation, and actually whoever she meets, she was not shy. She would say, you know, I gave God a couple hours, and God gave me back days. The way she was serving out of her business, it was a couple hours. She thought that she couldn't spare, but when she was willing to give it, she says she found that she got more time back. I don't know. It can't be proven scientifically. But just like the jar of flour that never got empty and the jug of oil that never ran dry, she found that there's more time for her to live and enjoy. In the mornings, I take some time to read scripture and be in prayer. You know, it's not that much of a time, maybe 30, 40 minutes. But sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm so busy. I have so much to do. I have lists this long. I really don't have that time. When I take the time to spend with God, reading the scripture and prayer, I find that I have time throughout the day for me to even catch a breath and just be calm. But on those days when I don't take that time, I find that, boy, I don't even have that 10 hours. Or somehow I'm just running around like headless chicken. What a difference. When the Israelites were journeying through the wilderness for 40 years, every morning God would rain down upon them manna, bread for them to eat, and bring the quails in the evening so that they can eat meat. And we sing, "Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, the new mercies I see." When we are willing to be daring and courageous with our faith, willing to give God the little of what we have, then each day we experience God's grace, filling us, feeding us, sustaining us, and we experience the abundance that we never experienced before. See, something about our lives is that we seem to be living in the scarcity mode all the time. See, if we listen to our speech, if we listen to the way we speak, we always talk about what little we have or how much we don't have. I don't have time. I don't have the space. I don't have the bandwidth. I don't have days. I don't have money. I don't have. You know, it's all about what I don't have. And we seem to be living in this scarcity mode. The widow definitely didn't have much. All she had was a handful of flour and a little bit of oil. But when she was willing to offer it to the stranger, she found that there is abundance. Abundance of God's grace that sustained her and her family through the 3 years of drought. So how is the Holy Spirit nudging you to be daring and courageous with your time, with your life, with your finances, as we are living in this scarcity mode? I'd like to leave you with a quote from quote by George Mueller. This is what he said, and I really love this statement. He says, "Faith does not operate in the realm of the possibility. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where humans' power ends. Faith begins when we begin to step out of our scarcity mentality and be willing to be generous to God and others with what we have. So what would it look like if you are daring and courageous in your faith so that you can experience the abundance of God? Amen.